Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best.
Well, hi, everyone. This is Lori Peters from the Happiness Hangout. I'm finally back live again after being off for the summer as my first book, brand new book, has been released. Getting Married at Last, My Journey from Hopelessness to Happiness, came out in pre-sale August 1st and came out fully published on August 8th. So it's really only been a couple of days. And today we're going to be talking about the book and relationships. And I have a panel of guests here that have purchased and read the book. So it's going to be really fun to talk about that and talk about their relationship situations. Just a little bit of background for you about the book. It's not a how-to book. It's really an inspirational or book of hope. For those out there who want something in their lives but haven't been able to get it. In my circumstance, I tell you about the journey of challenging, crazy relationships, loving relationships. Some of them maybe weren't so loving, but let's just call it boyfriend relationships that I went through for my entire life, could not get it right. And then when I was in my 40s, the major epiphany that I had that turned everything around. And you're going to have to get the book to know what the epiphany is. And then I continue to talk about post-epiphany, how the right man for me came into my life. And I got married less than 2 months ago, one day into my 53rd birthday for the first time. So it's really a journey of self-exploration, self-love, gratitude, self-esteem, as much as it is a book about getting the guy. So it's really... works for people in two different ways. So if you want to grab the book, it's Getting Married at Last, My Journey from Hopelessness to Happiness. If you want to check it out as you're listening, it's over at Amazon and you can get it in paperback and Kindle. And I will tell you, Amazon's running an ad for it. It's cheaper than it's ever been. It usually runs at $12.95. I put it at $9.95 and it's running for $8.96. So go check it out. So let's get on with the show. Today we have... I have a panel of guests here who came to Cleveland to be on the show with me. Very excited to have them. And I'm going to introduce them to you. First of all, I have Shannon. So Shannon, you want to say hello to everybody?
Hello, everybody.
And Shannon, tell us a little bit about, just kind of briefly, your relationship status right now.
My relationship, I would like to say it's complicated, but it's kind of non-existent. I had met someone, we've gone out a few times, and then you just don't hear from them. And then you still see them, and they act like they still like you, and things like the chemistry is there, the signals are all there, but then there's nothing.
So. I have a feeling we're going to be getting into this a little bit more during the show. Okay, glad you're here with us, Shannon.
Thank you.
Our next guest is Jamie. Jamie, do you want to tell us a little bit about what's going on with you, your relationship status?
I have a boyfriend. He lives with me. That's it.
Okay, and how long does he live with you?
Probably about a year, year and a half.
Okay, great. And our last panel guest is Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hi, guys. I'm the oldest one in the group over here. I've been with this guy for 9 years, met on a blind date, and it's just easy. That's the best I can say about him. He's just easy to be with and fun.
Great.
That's awesome.
That's wonderful. So my panel and I are going to talk a little bit about, first of all, in the book, I talk about some of the lessons that I learned. And the book tells you how I learned them and what happened. But some of the lessons I learned, because I didn't have much of them before, are around trying to be patient. In my physiological makeup, I do not have patience. It's not, my mother always said about herself that she didn't have patience. I don't have patience. I want it now. I should have been a millennial, but I'm not. I'm an Xer, Generation Xer. I don't have patience. And also, I learned about believing in myself and then trusting the universe to bring me what I needed. I did not trust that it would come in its own time. So I'm going to start with these questions to Judy, Jamie, and Shannon, and talk a little bit about life lessons. In terms of relationships, what have been the life lessons you've learned? I mean, can you relate to what I said about patience, believing that things come in the right time, or believing in yourself? Anybody want to make comments to that?
I believe that things come when you're ready for them. I absolutely believe that. I'm just impatient and I'm like, okay, I just turned 40 years old. I still got nothing.
In terms of relationships,
I still don't have anything. I wish I did. And I think that I always believe that, you know, I will have my happy ending and my Prince Charming, but when is it going to happen? Like, I'm 40. Mm-hmm. I want it to happen sometime.
Well, I'm 70 and I was married and I've been divorced. But it took me up until probably about 10 years ago to realize that I was looking for the wrong person and I needed to find the happiness within myself. Mm-hmm. And once that happened and I was happy with myself, it was better than going on a date and saying I'd rather be home watching TV.
And you found that happiness within yourself, Judy. What do you have some, can you give us any ideas about how you got to that place? Was it just something that you figured out, or did you do anything specifically to get there?
I reevaluated my life. I realized why I got married the first time for the wrong reason. And it's a bad reason. Because he might be listening to this, I'm not going to say what it was. But I thought about that. And then I thought to myself, I dated a lot of different guys. And I put them in categories as to, you know, what they were like. And what I found out was they weren't for me, but I was looking for somebody to make me feel good about myself, and you can't do that. You have to feel good about yourself first, and then you can go out there and you can find your happiness. It doesn't have to be with a man. You just have to find your happiness within, and that's what I did.
I can really resonate with what you're saying about looking for people to make you feel better. I do bring this up in the book a lot, and you'll notice that I realized how much I did that when I wrote the book. It was amazing. I was always latching on to other people when I was younger to try to feel the way I wanted to feel, but I was not using them, but I can't come up with a better word. I was latching on to them to pull that out of them so it would come in me, because I couldn't find it internally. And of course, that worked out well. It did work as a kid because I didn't know any better. But when you get older, at some point you have to live with yourself, and you have to realize that you are you. You become mature about it. You become wiser. Jamie, any thoughts on, we've talked, you know, about this a little bit today about the universe bringing things at the right time. You're a big believer in that, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And I also believe that when you chase things, they run from you. Whether it's money, boyfriends, whatever. If you're looking for it and it's in the forefront of your mind, it runs from you. So I think if you take your time and figure yourself out, in the meantime, you know, something will come along. It'll come your way. You just got to be patient. Seems to be a reoccurring word here, but
are you patient?
For the most part, you know, I mean, I do have my moments when things get to me, but for the most part, I'm pretty passive and pretty patient.
Wow, we're not.
No,
Judy and I are. Judy, I think Judy's patient here. Yeah. By the way, I can tell by her demeanor that she is. But, you know, it's really interesting when you talk about chasing, what you chase runs from you. Because I'm a big believer in the law of attraction, which like attracts like. So if you put out, if you say, I need more money, I need more money, I need more money, and you're having all these feelings about lack of money, guess what happens? You don't get money. Mm-hmm. So what you have to say is things like, and I know we're talking about relationships, so I'll put it in that context. So if we're talking about relationships, I would say something like, wouldn't it be nice if I had a relationship, and your body has to relax around it? I would be so great if I had the greatest relationship or a wonderful relationship. And it would be so great if I had somebody that, you know, we had a great time together. And you know what? I believe it's right here for the taking. And I'm so excited to take advantage of it. And you feel that inside you. And you keep kind of living in that. You don't have to keep saying that over and over. You just sort of live that calm happier as often as you can, joyous feeling, that's what brings it to you. You don't want to say, oh my God, I can't ever get a boyfriend. Why don't I have a boyfriend? I never have one. Then again, that's lack. So yes, and then when somebody comes or comes, right, Jamie, when somebody comes in your world and you have that mindset, Jamie just made something, you can't see what she just did, but what did you just do?
Oh, I made like a running, you're running away, it's running away from you.
That makes so much sense though. It really, I mean, you saying that, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Okay, I get it. I've always been the person that it's like, I want something so bad, and then I'm like, I almost think that I will like someone because they showed me the tiniest bit of attention. And of course, they're out the door. Because I'm like, oh, okay, well, yeah, but... Shit.
Oopsie. Sorry. Hey, it's not a horrible word. You could have said something a lot worse.
Yeah, it's like, I need someone to chase me, darn it.
Well, and you know, I think with you saying that, I mean, what that says to me is put yourself in the mindset we just talked about, if you want somebody.
I'm always like, I always feel like I'm going to be single forever. And I've had the past year, there's been like two different aspects and neither of them have worked out. And I just feel like I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. It's like, I always feel like I'm like, not that I put myself out there because I do hold myself back, but I don't know. I feel like sometimes I'm jinxed.
Well, tell her what she just said there's causing her problems.
Yeah, it's the thought. Like, I remember, and I'm not trying to.
No offense.
Spotlight
go.
Or anything, but.
Take it.
I remember thinking, like, to myself that, you know, I would never find somebody, and, you know, I mean, but I'm comfortable living by myself, you know, but it was, I like having a best friend, you know, someone I can talk to. But it was like, I was forcing it to happen. So I think once I finally was just like, whatever, I just kind of chilled out about it, I guess, so to speak. It just kind of came.
Well, see, that's my problem is like, I'm a very social person. Like, I like to go out, I like to have fun, but I don't have anybody at home. So some people, and I've heard this before in the past, that, oh, she just likes to party, she likes to have fun. No, it's not like that I have to party and I want to have fun. I don't have anyone at home to go home to. I like, don't get me wrong, I love my alone time. I love my naked time. It's great. I have fun. I watched my shows, reality shows. Love them, but I hate them because
okay,
I can't stop.
I have to ask, what is naked time? You just run around the house naked and wanting to watch TV?
I come home and my clothes come off.
I mean, am I completely naked?
Maybe.
I have a robe. No, I'm not
just in my underwear.
I'm not giving Shannon's number out, just so you know. I'm not doing that.
I'll give my address out. Come peep in my windows. I'm just kidding. But no, it's like I get perceived as the party girl, and I'm not the party girl. I would love to come home to somebody to watch a movie with, to go to bed at a decent time with, to do things with. I don't need to be going out all of the time. Do I like it? Yes, but I don't have anything to go home to. Mm. It's me, myself, and I. I don't have kids. I don't have pets. I don't have a man to go home to. So yes, if I have, I'm very social because I don't want to be alone all the time. I like my alone time, but I want to be with like somebody more than I want to be alone.
But Jamie brought up a really good point. You know, you start out as friends. It doesn't have to be necessarily love. I mean, I think that has to grow. I mean, you need to find out if you have common interests.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you start out as friends, you know, go to clubs. Not clubs, necessarily. Join a club. You know, you might find, you know, somebody that's got common interests. But if you push it that way, it's not going to happen. But you should start out slowly and be a friend. But I got to tell you, this guy that I was with, it took me to say, I love you. We were into this thing for 3 years before he would say anything. But we were comfortable with each other, and it wasn't coming from him because he's much more quiet than I am, and it was time.
Well,
I got it back.
Thank you, Jesus. And I just mentioned, too, and it takes a long time to get out of this mindset because there were two things you said. I feel like it will never happen, and I feel like I'm jinxed. You're still using that verbiage. But let me tell you something to all of us, whatever you want in life, and to our listeners, it takes a while to get out of a mindset of something that you have believed for so long. So you have to kind
absolutely.
Of, you kind of have to go a little bit slower. And I find myself, when I do that, I'll gently tell myself, and I'll rephrase it. I still do that to this day, but you know, I get to do that much less because I've been practicing law of attraction for about 12 or 13 years now. And I've read all the books on it. And I mean,
I believe in it.
Yeah.
I just, I doubt myself. That's the problem.
You haven't really applied it yet.
No.
And you can stop losing hope, because the reason I wrote this book is because I'm 53 years old and got married for the first time. And so, you know, what I'm saying is, it doesn't, age really doesn't matter. What matters is when you get there, you get there. And it's different for everybody. I had to accept that. I didn't follow the social norms of having kids at this age, getting married, having a minivan, having great kids. I didn't have that. But it came when I allowed it to come, when it was my time. Right. So, I mean, we can definitely do a whole show on the law of attraction. And I have law of attraction specialists I can have on. So maybe we'll do that someday.
That would be awesome.
You know, there's great books around this. Just simply any book by that's on law of attraction from Jack Canfield. Deepak Chopra is a fabulous author, and he writes about the law of attraction. So Deepak Chopra, and to our listeners out there, Deepak Chopra, the law of attraction, he writes about it. So pick up a book by him or by Jack Canfield, anybody really who writes about it and knows what it is. It'll really help you. So, well, wonderful. So as we're talking about believing in yourself and trusting the universe, we'll get back into the relationships a little bit, and I'm going to ask you all, what's the number one thing you think you either need or want to have in a relationship besides trust? Because we know trust is like number one. What's another like deal breaker for you that you must have in a relationship?
Humor.
Yes.
If you are sticking in my
personality, you need a good personality.
I can't. I need to have in humor is a. I mean, you have to be. You have to be fairly smart.
Yeah, you don't have to be a comedian, but make me laugh.
Yeah,
make me
laugh. I make things like I use humor a lot when I'm upset. I use it to make I break the ice or make a situation a little better when it's getting kind of tense, when we're mad about who's cooking dinner or whatever it is. But that's just my personal opinion. 100%. You have to be able to laugh. You have to be able to laugh at yourself.
At yourself.
At absolutely. Your mistakes, at their mistakes, and you help each other. Yeah, absolutely. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Communication, I think, is huge. A lot of people, I am definitely guilty of holding things back. Maybe that's why I have not worked things out in my past relationships. Because I don't say, you need to say what you want, how you feel. I mean, great. This is a great eye-opening experience. Thanks, Lori. In a really good way. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
But no, I never say what I want to say. And I think communication, you need to be open. You need to say how you feel. I mean, what do you have to lose? That person? Well, then obviously they weren't for you.
I used to be scared to say what I wanted to say for that same fear. And unfortunately, it took me a really long time to realize, who cares? Let him go then. Because your heart gets so sucked into it. It almost feels like, it used to feel like I was going to die inside. When I really, really wanted somebody and we were dating and I thought I could lose him, I felt like I could die. It's what I have no other way to explain. Your like stomach falls almost out of your body. You're nervous. You get this horrible feeling inside. It just feel like you're going to cry all day long. So then you get scared. But somebody who really loves you or really likes you will go past that. You know, I just got married, what is it now, 6-7 weeks? And I can say anything to him. If you're listening, lovey. I can say anything to him. And early on, I did say some things. And I just was like, I'm saying them, and that's how we're going to roll. I mean, I just am going to do it. I'm not going to do that anymore. And look, we got married. So it shows that you just got to do it.
Yeah.
Right, Judy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, one of the things I know we've read about before is he needs to care about you more than you care about him. I think it's really important. But what I find is kindness and generosity and warring, and respect. I think respect is huge, huge thing.
Mutual respect.
It's got to be. Absolutely.
Sure.
You don't always have to agree on things, but if you don't have that respect, figure, then they can walk all over you. You can walk all over them. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
You can agree to disagree, too. I think that it's completely 100% healthy to say, let's just agree to disagree. We don't agree about this, so let's just walk away from it. Let's not, because you're trying to force your opinion down my throat, and I'm trying to force my opinion down your throat.
You don't always have to agree, yes.
Yeah, you just agree to disagree.
We are completely different. I'm outgoing, and he is very, very quiet, but I've learned from him. And, you know, I've studied this from the very beginning. What makes him tick? You know, what? Why do I care about him? Because he's always been easy to be with. And he is. He's quiet, but he's taught me some patience. I'm one of these people that loves to cook, and I'm just going along, and it's like, oops, I missed something. This guy goes through the recipe, then he goes through the recipe again. But he doesn't miss anything. So I've learned to be patient, which is a big thing, you know, and to go and really try to understand what's going on in there. Because, like I said, I'm spur of the moment off the seat, but he is as regimented as they make him. And it works. It just works.
The opposites attract, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, I was going to ask about, there's a question in here about that, but I got to go back to something. I'm going to see if we have a debate or not on something. I grew up hearing a couple of things from my mother, and I told Ryan this early on, and what she said was, Lori, I'm sorry, but the guy's got to love you even just a little bit more than you love him. And I always believe that. Ryan and I were dating it was a St. Patty's Day a couple of months after we started dating. And that's kind of a rough day for me because it's my very close friend's birthday and she's almost 100% Irish. So after a few too many Irish whiskeys, I said to Ryan, I told him this and he said, no problem. That's how it will be if we continue on. And it, to this day it is. I can't tell you the amount of pushback I get. You know, I work with a lot of relationship coaches, therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, through the work I do in my writing for magazines and people that I collaborate with that, you know, is that really right? Is that really fair? Is that really the way it has to be? Is that old school thinking? I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I kind of still like it. What do you guys think? Should he love you a little bit more than you would?
Absolutely, that's what I just said.
All right, you're open. If you feel that he loves you a little bit more than you love him, then he's probably thinking the same thing, that you love him a little bit more than he loves you. No?
No, no.
I don't know. I'm thinking.
I told him it has to be that way. He's got to love him.
And if he agrees with it, then whatever. That's an argument you don't need to have.
When I say love you,
that's fine.
When I say I love you, he goes, I love you more.
Well, that's right.
But do you believe in that philosophy is the question. Do you think a relationship has to be that way where the man, if you're in a regular, let's just talk, you know, I would assume there's probably somebody in the relationship, whether it's, you know, two women, two men, a woman and a guy that loves the other person a little bit more, maybe. Traditionally, let's go with traditional roles. I just kind of like and think it doesn't bother me if the man loves the woman a little bit more. Now I'm rethinking it because I read a wonderful book. She's going to be on my show. It's called Radical Acceptance, Andrea Miller. She's going to be on the show. And she had something to say about that. It would be the opposite of what I think. So, Judy and I are sitting here thinking, yeah, I kind of think that maybe is the case.
If it works for you, cool. I think that's my opinion. If it works for you, that's
whatever.
I haven't gotten there yet, so I'll let you know in my next relationship. Quotes. We'll see.
So I don't know.
If that's what works and it works for both of you, then why not?
Well, our listeners, it'd be really funny. You know, usually many of our listeners listen after the fact of this show. But if somebody's listening and has an opinion on it, feel free to go on BBS's website. It's BBS, no W's, bbsradio.com/happinesshangout or just bbsradio.com and call in on station one. That's where I am. And let us know what you think. Should the man love the woman just a little bit more than the woman loves the man? So I was curious in your thoughts on that. So, all right, we'll let that one go. Okay. So we're talking about what you must have in your relationship. So when we're talking about we must have, let's now talk about what we must not have. What do you ladies think the biggest relationship killers are? What are things in relationships that you've been in before or that you've seen patterns with yourself or other people over time where it's like, that'll end it every time. Besides cheating.
You know, yeah, normal, that's always the number one.
Cheating, lying, things like that.
Okay, I've always had three, me and my big relationships, I've always had three rules. I've always said, don't tell me what to do, don't cheat on me, and make sure that our communication open lines are always open. Not that I've followed my own rules, but I think those are important. I don't want to be told what to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I don't want you cheating on me. I'm not going to cheat on you. And like, let's just, you know, let's live our lives. If you want to go out with the guys one night, go out with the guys one night. You telling me, like putting me, I guess, I don't want to be put on a leash.
Don't tell me what to do. Yeah.
Don't tell me what I can and can't do. Because I'm probably going to do it then just to spite you. I do that because I put myself on a diet every Monday. Every Monday I start my diet and every Tuesday I order a pizza.
But you know, you brought up a really good point, I think. Communication is a big thing.
It's huge.
You know, I mean, if you, and I've dated guys and maybe you have too. Oh yeah, I'm going to call you tomorrow. We're going to do something
right
3 days from now.
Yep.
Well, they don't show up. And then a couple days later, well, they have excuses.
I don't care. We're not in high school anymore. Exactly. I don't need the 3-day freaking rule.
No.
Call me the next day. Call me the next hour. Show me something. Yeah. Throw me a bone. I'm not saying throw me a bone that you're going to feed a 150-pound dog. Like, throw me the chihuahua bone. Throw me something. Let me know you're interested. And that's the issue that I'm having right now.
Mm-hmm.
So confused. But yeah, I don't need a lot. I don't need a lot. I'm very independent. You want to do things, you work a lot. I get it. Just communicate with me. Communicate with me.
Well, the first.
Because if not, I'm going to get mad.
Well, the first thing that happened here was don't tell me what to do, especially if you're a strong personality.
Mm-hmm.
And also the longer that you are alone, the more you develop how you like to do things.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, and don't lie to me. Don't lie.
Oh, well,
don't lie. Exactly. Don't cheat. Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. Well, the ones that we know for sure are don't lie and don't cheat. But like, honestly, I was dating all these extroverted men. Who do I end up with? Somebody super introverted, who's very laid back, which is really good for me because I really like to, you know, I like to be. I'll admit it. I like to be the star of the show. I like to be in charge. I like to run things. I like to plan things. I've learned to let go as I've gotten older, but that's my personality type. So to have another extrovert with me, not that extroverts and
you're going to be constantly clashing and wanting to like argue, like fight for who's going to be the bigger hit of the party.
Not that extroverts can't marry. It's just that somebody's got to lay some, you got to know with each other when to lie back.
Right.
And two introverts have to know when to come forward.
Boundaries.
Right.
Yes.
And teaching each other, you know, what to do. So relationship killer for you is a bossy dude.
Yeah, don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do the opposite. I know I do that to my own self. I tell myself what to do and I think, I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to start working out. And then I'm like, okay, pizza and chicken wings the next night. Oh, and all I do is I think about food. I'm like, oh, I'm going to diet, but I want spaghetti and meatballs. I want that pizza. I want that chicken wing. Oh my God, the gyro from the bar at the top of my street. They're great.
Yeah, that's hard when you live. We all, you know, when we all live in big cities. And so when we're by places, it could be really tough. So
yeah.
Relationship killers. What do you guys think?
You know, the other thing I think, we're all adults here. When you're with somebody, you cannot expect to change them.
Yes,
that way they are.
Oh my God, that's huge.
You know
that is,
I mean,
huge.
And when you said, "Well, don't tell me what to do," it's like we're adults. It's like your mother telling you or your father telling you what or what not to do. I mean, you know, you have to. There's a line there.
Yes. Don't nitpick.
Don't
nitpick. I always say, and I'm really good at advice until it comes to myself. But I have friends that have been in relationships. I'm like, in our age, you can't change somebody. We're already set in our ways. So you either have to accept them or you have to not accept them. Do we have compromises? Compromises, absolutely. But you cannot change a person. You cannot change a person in our age. In our 20s, absolutely, because we're still growing. We still don't know what the heck is going on. We don't even know what we're doing. But I'm 40 years old. Are you going to change me? Probably not. Will I make compromises? Absolutely. But I am who I am. I can't just be a different person for you because then what's the point?
Jamie, you had a really strong reaction to that you can't change them. What gave you that strong reaction?
Because it's so true. I mean, you can't. One thing I've learned is, you know, you can't change somebody. And then if you actually want to be with somebody, you accept them. So either you accept them or you move on. And I think that's a lot of, I'm just speculating, but, you know, younger people that get married, they expect, like, yes, all this stuff to happen. It's going to be wonderful and great and everything's so peachy, but it's not, because they're so young and not ready to accept people
for
the way they are. You know, maybe it's because we're a little bit older. I mean, it took me a little bit to figure that out, you know, but just like Shannon said, I don't want someone to tell me what to do. I wouldn't tell somebody what to do. And I feel that, you know, within reason, you know, you can't be a jerk. But, you know, I think, you know, it's all about compromise.
Yeah.
It's all about,
I hate that word.
It's all about mutual respect.
No, not because I don't do it, I just hate it.
It's all about mutual respect. Mm-hmm. You have to respect somebody's space, their opinion. Yeah.
I just learned it instead of compromise, because compromise, the way I define it, is nobody wins. So I look at it like this. There's a lot of things that I don't care about. Okay. So those things that I really can live with, then I have to look at it differently. That's all. Like, okay. Ryan's going to be laughing if he's listening, and he said he was, so God help me.
Thanks, Ryan.
He just has this really funny thing he does. That he just enjoys this. I had to let him have it back, because he takes his socks off, puts them in the thing, and then just throws them in the middle of the living room, just for fun or something. And I was like, yeah, his basketball background. And I said, and years ago, I said to him, wow, is that the appropriate place for socks? Because we tease. Our whole life and our whole relationship is about humor and teasing. That's awesome. That's how we do it. So he's like, yep, babe. So I'm like, okay. So then I, for fun, I started to hide his socks. Like at Christmas, I just put Santa thing. He's like, babe, where's my socks? I can't find socks.
In the tree.
And I was like, oh, guess what? Santa has them. And there's like 50 Santas up, you know. So he has to go look for them. He can't find them. And then, you know, I got to the point now where, you know, I just swing by and pick them up. That's just a little thing. But you know, when you live with somebody, I annoy him occasionally here and there. He annoys me occasionally here and there. You know, when you do stuff like that. So for me, it's like give and take, yes, but it's a matter of, you know, if there's a deal breaker for me, then we'll discuss that. But if it isn't really a deal breaker, then you guys might call it compromise. I call it, it's not a deal breaker. So I just swing by and pick up those socks. We have a thing where I put everything on the steps, and then eventually it goes upstairs and we get into a rhythm and it works out anyway. So I've got my quirks too. So compromise is the word. It might be, you know, only deal breakers. It might be negotiation. You use that word. But no, changing people is people change if they want to.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean that people don't change. Some people will tell you people never change. I don't believe that at all.
Oh, I think that's BS.
I think people change.
You change throughout your entire life.
I just had this conversation earlier today with another nurse that I work with. And she said to me, do you think that people can change?
Heck yeah.
And I said, to an extent.
Tell us what that means, Jamie.
And I'm probably not saying this, like, I'm probably not clearing this appropriately or whatever, or getting it all out, but you can change, you know, your eating habits or quitting smoking or you quit drinking or whatever it is, but at the core, you are same person. I mean, you have your core values, your environment, how you were brought up, you know, what you believed in as a kid, what you were shown, all that stuff. Maybe some of it wouldn't, you know, you might be able to tweak some of it, but I mean, really, at your core, do you really, really, truly change?
Absolutely. I don't think so.
I don't think you can. I think you can change some stuff, but I don't think it's.
I think life experiences make you change. Yes. Depending on your different, like if you are a person that grows up very comfortably, you don't have to work, you get everything handed to you. Okay, of course, what's going to change over that? But if you all of a sudden get slapped in the, it's almost like a slap in the face where you're like, okay, you lost everything. A year down the road, you might change your perspective on things because you went from having everything to nothing. It all depends on your life experiences, I think.
You know, in Lauren's book, and you have to get the book to see this, she had a life-changing experience when her mother passed. There might be somebody close. I lost my son to suicide. That was hard to deal with. That, you know, life, you really look at life a little bit differently. You know, you have to love the people today. I mean, because they may not be here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are things in your life, you know, that are going to change. I mean, look at the world we live in compared to, I grew up in the 60s, you know, life is so much quicker right now.
Yeah.
You have to make quicker changes. I mean, everybody knows on the internet what's going on with your life. You know, things are so different right now, you know, but, you know, some of them are life-changing. For me, the death of my son was life-changing to me. Really was.
I absolutely believe people change. And certain things that your core values that Jamie was talking about, your core values, your belief, you know, I have changed my thoughts majorly on spirituality, even though I was raised a certain way. I think even some of my personality traits, my general extroverted self, you can't change your personality. All you can change is your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes. Going to be the same.
So your personality is always going to be what it is. But I have found that after my mother died, I'm kinder. I am more approachable. I used to be scared to be around people who were going through trauma. But after my mother died, I gravitated towards it because I wasn't scared of it anymore. I got through it and I lived. So I had a lot of changing behaviors. And I've also decided as I've gotten older, this worked before, this doesn't now. It's like, this worked before, this doesn't now, you know, that kind of thing. So again, we have to look at change. We might be looking at it as apples and oranges, but at your core, again, if you think of it as you don't change your personality, you change your behavior.
Yes.
That then sure, people do change because you're certainly not the same at 17 as you are at 47.
For sure.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like your nuclear core does not change. And I mean, go ahead and be mad at me for saying this, but I think that people that are mean and just naturally mean people, and we can go into all the reasons why they're mean, but
they're not
for the sake of this, we're not going to do that. They're just mean people. Do they really change it? I don't think they do.
They cover it better.
Well, if you know
they
what?
They cover it better or everything.
Yeah. They get meaner.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it,
manipulative. I don't know.
The reason that they might, okay, if they're mean, and it's something within them, physiologically, it's at their core. But if environmental made them mean, let's say they grew up with mean parents or in a horrible situation, perhaps eventually if they went to I'm making this up. Let's say they got therapy. Let's say that they surrounded themselves by really good people. Let's say they were taught life will always serve you lemons, but then all of a sudden they start to see lemonade all the time because they're around the right people. Their environment changes. If the real them was always nice, then that could come. If the real them was always mean, they probably would never put themselves in a position to be around nice people and get therapy, right?
I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. So there is possibilities. It depends on what's deeply inside you and if you're really wanting to change.
Well, what your core is or what you've been shown. Your core is going to be your core. It's going to be who you are. If you're shown mean stuff and then you showed nice stuff and you turn it's all what's inside. There's mean people that are just mean and they're not going to change. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. Well, thank you for that. Okay. Now I have another tough question for you.
Yes.
Okay. Do you think, and there's been a lot of debate about this, are we as a society really meant to be monogamous? Do you think, now I'm not just saying men, although it does appear that men might struggle a little more with that in general. Do you think we should be monogamous or can we even be monogamous?
Yes, I think everybody's living situation is different. Things are definitely more out in the open now. So it's like, you know, everyone's having different relationships, whether they're swingers or they have their three partners. That is being more accepted. So people are more open to that now. Do I want that? No. I want one person only. I don't want to share. I'll probably get jealous. So it's all really in how you want to perceive it. Like, I don't want three people. I want one. Me and him. That's it. But I think everything is so much more accepted these days that things are just becoming more and more open, more free. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to have a whole family, I mean, they got a show on it, for goodness sakes. The guy's married to how many women?
But it all, I don't know. I would get jealous.
So you're saying monogamy is possible?
I think monogamy is, absolutely, absolutely. Things are just more open and things are more free these days. I don't want to share.
Okay, fair enough. What do you ladies think?
Hey, I totally agree. From the time I started dating at 16 years old, I just couldn't manage two guys at one time. If I liked a guy, fine. I went on, and dated that guy. But I could not separate myself and date two guys and talk about them at the same time. I just couldn't do it. And to this day, I can't do it either.
It takes too much energy. You know?
Exactly.
Way too much energy, you know?
Well, I'm not going to go there. Never mind.
Well, and when you talk about, when Shannon talks about people having multiple partners, of polygamy and such, I have been met someone who is a therapist who works with people who have different sexual lifestyles. And, I always am open to listening. That isn't my relationship and wouldn't want it ever to be. Yet I find interest in, we're not all the same. And sometimes people just, are, like you said, we're becoming more open to people doing what works best for them, but you just have to really know and be careful about what you're getting into. So I kind of had a feeling I knew how this crew would answer, but I wondered if, I guess for you all, you're saying yes, it's possible.
I mean, if I had two guys fighting over me, no, not that. Can I date you both? Okay. But yeah, probably not.
I think it's a frame of mind. Like marriage. Marriage is a frame of mind. I mean, just it's a piece of paper, but it's a frame of mind. You have to want it. You have to. It has to be ingrained in what you believe in.
Mm-hmm. And I think more our age group, it's always been just, you're in one relationship, you're in one marriage. Where these days, I mean, everyone's, and I'm not meaning to say, but everyone's sleeping with each other, everyone's having fun, everyone's in. No one's monogamous. Everyone's like, oh, I love my boyfriend, but I really love my best friend too. And we're all together. We live together. I mean, they make TV shows of it. So, I mean, it's really all in what you can
where
handle.
Where does that go, though, too?
Yeah.
Does it last?
Nope. No. Never does.
Look at the guy.
But neither do people who are in marriages and divorces that are just two people. They last maybe not as long, but I mean, marriages don't last either, so it's
50% of them. It is a piece of paper, and with us, we're together 9 years, but there's a trust issue there, there's a kindness issue there, we're always touching each other to say, I'm there. Some days I'll come home and I'm exhausted, he'll cook for me, put your legs up, have a glass of wine. Other days I'll say, I don't go that far.
Please rub my feet.
I'll do things for him. I'll go out of my way to cook a special meal for him. Or, say,
you need to do special things for each other.
I think you need to do. That's probably one of the questions she's going to ask later. But I think you always need to be doing that.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. So what do you think? Let's go with that question then. What are the things that keep it going and healthy and strong? Let's go with that. So keep going.
Yeah, Judy, you should know this, girl. Yep. I have no idea. Tell me, Judy, tell me.
With us, I mean, it's a respect factor. It starts with that. I babysit a lot. When I get home, he says, lay down, have a glass of wine, I'll make supper, I'll clean afterwards. He's into a lot of sports, and when I'm home, I'll cook a special meal for him. But the important thing that we do, and we even at this age, we have to have date night. I tried it once a week. That doesn't always work. But every other week. And the only reason for that is I think we're all busy. Mm-hmm. But if you don't go out and try to have a special night, you're going to lose a lot. I mean, we date at a younger age. We get dressed up. We look good. You have to keep that up.
Yeah, you need the little – you hear that. Oh, it's the little things that it really is the little things.
I mean, I don't get flowers anymore, but I went out and bought him, him socks because he needed.
You bought him a G-string, didn't you?
Don't start her going because I have a feeling. Okay, so Jamie, you are now living with somebody, okay, for a while now. And, things can kind of get into a rut sometimes, too. Like, you get that, because we've all experienced that, not the rut part, but living and having sort of the day-to-day thing, especially, after you're together for a while. So, in terms of those things. I know a little bit about you in terms of, I know you like to do some of the similar things that are very active. Does that help? Because I know that you both like to get out into the nature and.
Oh, yeah.
That's huge for you, isn't it?
Yeah, huge. You know, I think you have to have some likeness. But then again, like Shannon was saying earlier, you also, you know, you got to do your own thing sometimes, too. I mean, we like to hike. We like to go camping, although it's been hard this year because my son has baseball and it's been like going on forever. But I think if you do the same things all the time, like I know people that work together, live together. I don't think I can handle that much of this person. I love them, but I'm also
there
very
there independent. Has to be similar interests, but you have to have your
personality, you know? But like Judy was talking earlier about, you know, how to keep it spicy. Or I think everybody likes to feel special.
Yes.
So like those little things, you know, even just that, you know, can you just hug me today, or I just want to hug you, or you just look really pretty, or whatever it is, you know, it's
always,
everybody wants to feel appreciated, and they want to feel special.
Yeah.
And I have no problem doing that for the person that I love. You know, I'm probably a little more introverted. I have a tendency to kind of ball up a little bit, but that's been on my list of things to be more available to do, you know, like I force myself to be a little more open with that. Like when I want to go home and not talk, you know, because I'm tired from work or whatever, I force myself to, you know, go give a hug and I love you. I love you doesn't come easy for me. So, but I make myself do it and it gets easier the more I do it. But everybody in every race, every nation, everywhere needs to feel special.
Agreed.
They do. Definitely.
Well, that was a very nice way to wrap this up. And in wrapping this up, I think I do want to mention a couple of things to the audience. Well, first of all, if you want to meet these characters, you got to make sure.
Yes.
You got to make sure. You got to make sure that you like me on my Facebook page. So I have two pages. One is Lori Peters, L-O-R-I, Lori Peters. And the other Facebook page is Happiness Hangout, which is what I use. But Lori Peters just kind of blew up one day, and I just have a lot more people on that page. So make sure that you go to Facebook right now and like both my pages. Also on Twitter, I'm at Happy Hangout. And I'm going to be posting pictures of this group, pictures of this event, and where you can hear this event. It usually takes a day or two before it comes out in archives, and then it goes to, if you're on iTunes, Stitcher, et cetera, it's there as well. And you can, of course, get it right at my radio page, which is bbsradio.com/happinesshangout. So I do want to thank Judy, Shannon, and Jamie for being our panel of guests and readers of my book, Getting Married at Last, My Journey from Hopelessness to Happiness. And again, if you'd like to find it, go out on Amazon.com. You can pick it up, paperback and Kindle. And if you want to learn a little bit more about it and check out my blog, you can go to my website at www.happinesshangout.net. Again, that's happinesshangout.net. So we will see you in 2 weeks on August 23rd, where I'm going to be having relationship experts and authors talking about their books, and we're going to be getting some great feedback and advice from those experts around relationships, and we're going to ask some very thought-provoking questions on another live panel on August 23rd. So I will be having my live launch on September 9th. If you're in the Cleveland area, email me at happyhangout@gmail.com and I can tell you what's going on with the live launch. Until next time, this is Lori Peters from the Happiness Hangout, and it's been wonderful to be with you. Have a wonderful week.
Hi, this is your host, Lori. Want to get more happiness? Check out all the free readings, activities, and my blog at my website. Want to learn how to deal with life's challenges from your positive core? Check out Empowering Yourself to Happiness class, done totally online. You can find it all at www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net. Come explore and feel better wherever you are. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are. Help us grow the Happiness Hangout Show. Become a sponsor. Businesses and nonprofits, get your info out there to thousands of my listeners all over the world for just pennies. Individuals can also sponsor one or more shows, and you get a shout out to your favorite charity. Several packages available. Come see what you get and put out there what's important to you. Go to www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net for more information.